Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me?
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do look what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
The block is hot, people. It's a Thursday afternoon. The best hour of your day is right now. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside and our weekly guest, Kevin Walsh, in the mix. How's it feel, Kev? Weekly guest on the program.
Yeah, I mean, good to be here. I had a few days
In here. Jeez, where have you been?
What's the matter?
I mean, my goodness.
You miss me?
Did you leave the country?
I mean,
I see an Andy Kaufman on the night show. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, what are you doing over here?
Yeah, I had to finalize the move, DRS, moving some things around. So,
wait, what move?
Monday and Tuesday.
Where are you going? What network?
No, Don. You can't get rid of me, pal. But yeah, so we're all good. I was only off Monday, Tuesday. Everything else is normal. I just, I don't work Wednesdays and Fridays. That's all. So I won't be here tomorrow.
Look at that.
Which is all good. No worries.
Tremendous.
What's up, Donnie? How's baseball been treating you? RBI shots? Are we ready or no?
I got to tell you, yesterday, very, very close. I lost money yesterday, but it was one of those where it's acceptable because I had a couple different round robins that needed like one more click. And you know how it goes, Kevin. I had Jazz Chisholm in my late one yesterday. I had a couple in the afternoon. Lost 3-1-1, so I lost a little bit of money because, those $30 ping off of a $1.50 and a $1.90, they pay you back some decent money. Chisholm has a man on third yesterday, can't get an RBI. It would have been worth $1,100. First at bat today, two runners on, bang, single up the middle, RBI. It's like, you know what? This is like enough with this nonsense madness, but it's been fun. Awesome last Friday. Win some, lose some, win some, lose some, win some, lose some until today, which we had a short card, which a lot of those games are going off now. I actually didn't like the card all that much. I haven't even bet any RBI props today. Maybe looking at that Houston game. But outside of that, it's fun to have it back because now it's like I'm betting like 4 to 5 round robins a night. And just like every game you have action in something. It is really fun, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went and calculated. I've tweeted out an MLB play of the day so far every day of the baseball season, and I've including May 1st, 16-17-1, right?
Yeah.
And if I can go off the old Donnie adage, get out of the first month even, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And yes, that's basically what it is. I will tell people, because I don't know if I've said this on air, one thing I've changed about a lot of my betting recently is just take a -110, for example. I don't lay 110. I just placed the $100. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it now makes, and I know, Donnie, you said you used to do this a lot when you would bet baseball money lines.
Correct.
So now the dogs are far more intriguing. They mean a lot more. Mm-hmm. And if I lose something that looks juicy, it doesn't affect me any more than if I lose a big plus money shot.
Yes, and what Kevin is talking about, I used to do this about 10 years ago because we didn't have all the betting options that we have now. So if you said to yourself, well, I like the Yankees today, -180, it's like, ooh, that's a really good play, you would put a $100 risk on there to win the money back, right? So let's just say, just to keep it even, let's just say $100 paid back $50 on that. and then you have two dogs, you're actually rooting on the dogs more than you are, because usually it's like, oh my God, just lost that minus 180. Like, how can I recover? Well, no, you actually only lost the $100 on that. But again, you do get paid less, but at the same time, the risk is much, much lower here. And it's like, okay, give me a couple of the dogs to come in, and if the favorite doesn't, it's not really that big of a deal, because you'd rather have the dog hit at that point. So I'm with you on that. I do subscribe to the, you know what, just risk the same amount on every game, and then technically you look at some of those favorites and say to yourself, it's not really that big of a deal if they lose, technically.
Yep. For me, it's worked nicely. I've learned, and look, I think we all go through ebbs and flows as bettors, but I feel at times, Donnie, that the frustrations of losing hit me more than the excitement of winning a wager. So I'd rather than limit how much I'm going to lose, if that makes sense. I use the NFL, this past NFL draft, as an example. The Saints to draft offensive line was minus 400 with their first pick. It is about as close to a lock as you could possibly find. There wasn't a single person that thought the Saints were doing anything other than draft offensive line. And to go full behind the curtain, I was going to put $400 on it and get back 100. But the reality, Donnie, is if I lose that bet, it is going to bother me for legitimately a month. If I win that bet, it's not really going to make me all that much of a difference. So I played it to play it for $100. And I won back $25. But you know what? I haven't sat here and been like, I can't believe I didn't get an extra $75. Not once.
Correct.
It doesn't bother me the same way. So I have found playing the same amount, regardless of the juice, to work much better for my betting style right now.
Yes, and I'll tell you, like, I didn't have any yesterday, but every once in a while I'll take a shot on two RBI shots. Last week I went 2 out of 3, which was really good, because it's crazy how much it adds up. He said, this doesn't make sense. How can I put a $100 wager on three guys to get two RBI, and in a round robin two of them get it, I win $1,000 back? Well, that happens. I went the other night, Kevin. Now, it didn't work out. Cronenworth has been great for me this season. It seems like every single game, if his numbers match up, but it seems like they match up every night, he's like a go-to guy. Mm-hmm. Hit a grand slam yesterday, but I only had him to get one RBI. But the reason the story is interesting is, like, the round robin, take three guys, and let me just forget about the handicapping. Like, you can take, by the way, it was Juan Soto, Jake Cronenworth, and Jose Altuve. You're not talking about the eighth guy in the lineup, Kevin. Like, oh man, this guy never plays. Hopefully he gets lucky and swings into a couple RBI. You're talking about premier guys that are in the middle of the lineup that usually rake. That $120 round robin total, Kevin, paid $15,000 if they each got two RBI. Ooh. Like, just, it's almost like, because I'm trying to put it into terms of, yes, it is tough to get RBI, but they sort of come in waves. Like, if you had in the NFL, the equivalent, Kevin, of, all right, I'm going to take Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes. I'd say Saquon Barkley to score 3 touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes to throw 6 touchdowns, and let's just say Tyreek Hill to get 150-plus yards. That might pay the same, but you say to yourself, like, all right, I mean, that's just Saquon Barkley better score every touchdown the Eagles have. That's not two RBI. And also, you're talking about guys like in the middle of the lineup or that can absolutely rake. Now, granted, Cronenworth got the job done and nobody else did, but you're saying to yourself, like, two of those, again, would pay well over $1,200 or $1,300. And if you hit the third one, it would be $15,000. Again, based on a $100 wager, and two RBI isn't that far-fetched. It's really not.
No, and, you know, I'm just having the Yankees box score up, right? You know, Mountcastle hit the solo shot. Mm-hmm. He hit the home run. All what he needed was one of Rushman or Henderson to get on base, which they typically can, right? So I have found that. I've told you this many times. I find it fascinating. I love watching you break it down. Yeah. I mean, you know the kicks I get out of the. It basically has justified you not only betting home run props.
Because, yes, it does. Yes.
Because of how often your guys hit home runs, because maybe they just hit a multi-man home run, which is just absolutely, which is, again, just kind of fantastic there. So, yeah, look, day baseball, these are always weird days, right, where they jam-pack everything. I have a Joey Meneses hits runs RBI prop coming up at 235.
Gosh.
So I don't know. Is there anything on the board that you're tracking, really? Right now,
we'll go over that after the break. But I get back to this as well, and I know there's nothing probably behind it. But I'm going to tell you right now, There's something in my brain, and there has to be something to it eventually. The day games versus the night games. Why does it feel like it's so much harder to bet day baseball than it is at night? There's nothing like you grew up your entire life playing day baseball. It's easy to see the baseball in the day, but I always subscribe to like, all right, there's two games in the afternoon, there's seven at night, let's just say. Ah, skip those two afternoon games because you know you're not going to get any RBIs there. The RBIs are at night. Sometimes it feels that way. I don't think it actually stacks up, but it just feels like superstition-wise. That's the way it goes. 1-1, Yankees-Baltimore. Great series so far, as that is in the top of the fourth inning. Much more baseball today. NBA tonight. Sensational action. Keep the dial right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wow. I mean, nobody's the New York Knicks.
Wow. That's
And we're going
crazy.
To a game seven in the garden. Go, New York, go. Game seven, go. Lose on your home court, lose on your home court. Sixers advance to the second round against Pacers. Go, 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 go. Horrible.
Ooh.
I mean, horrible Bucks at that point. Out. Knicks fans are the worst. I mean, look, once every 40 years you get a good team, stop with the nonsense out there, Knicks fans. It's going to end quickly. It's going to end horribly. But by the way, Jalen Brunson winning my admiration. Dante DiVincenzo, strictly a Tuesday night in February, three-point shot bet. Oh. I've learned that multiple times here at this point. So we're going to get to that game here. But I don't think we've talked to you here on the radio, Kevin, since the draft last week.
Yes.
So the draft was Thursday, Friday. We talked about obviously just myself and then into this week alone. Philadelphia Eagles in the draft. I don't know if it could have went any better. And let me just preface this by saying it before you get to the draft yourself. I was just watching, like, again, the Philadelphia Eagles have proven a point. Sign guys to contracts that are more than anybody's ever made in the NFL and continue to lower the salary cap year-to-year basis. It's genius what Howie Roseman does. Doesn't make any sense. But, Kevin, I was watching just, like, one simple highlight, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait for football season. It hit me like the draft was so good. Like, when your team has, like Chicago Bears fans, I mean, just camping out right now waiting for the season to start with the excitement there. I got so excited off the draft, man. How did it go for you, the telecast, the boys in the room? What was it like?
Yeah, look, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those things where the full Eagle fandom came out.
Oof, it really
with
did.
Their first two round selections because they were home runs by anyone's measure. Yeah. They drafted arguably the two best cornerbacks in the draft. And that's always kind of the funny thing. It's like, oh, of course you're excited. You're an Eagle fan. Like, listen, man, Eagles fans will tell you if they make a bad pick, and everybody was aware that they made good selections. Mm-hmm. But I actually wanted to bring up something quickly because I got a real kick out of it. I had, you know, Donna, sometimes when you're going down a rabbit hole. And the YouTube algorithm's like, oh, here's all your suggested files. And I got a 10 most stunning NFL draft moments one. And if there's ever a video to prove Donnie's theory of just let the fans draft the first round, my God, is this video everything you want to see. The best is like the Jets take some guy, truly Donnie, I've never heard of. I think it was like a tight end or something. And the fans are, we want Sapp. We want Sapp. We want. And
was it Kyle
Sapp.
Bechter, Kyle Brady back in the days? Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
Anthony Bechter.
No, Kyle Brady was the guy.
Yes. Okay.
Donnie. And I am just sitting there laughing to myself about your theory and just watching it play out like this. And you kind of pair it off of what the Falcons did. And again, I really believe the mistake the Falcons made was paying Cousins, not drafting Penix. But that's
correct.
But I really do believe that if you just let the fans handle the first round, it ultimately will work out probably for the best.
Because and I say this, and I said it multiple times last week, and again, because you see some picks that come up. I understand there are people that are working 365 days a year just as college scouts, and that is their job. But I swear to God, if you just took round number one and gave it to your fans, 90% of the team's fans will outdraft the general manager. managers because they know what a first round pick is supposed to be, an impact player right away. What do fans know from college football? Casuals, impact players that jump off of your screen and don't be stupid and pass up opportunities. But that is a funny one too. Yes, when Warren Sapp might smoke a little weed here. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, drafted like Mike Mamula that season. Like, hey man, who's, you know, the intangibles are good. And saying like, why are you messing up a good thing? You watch a kid absolutely dominate major college football, like, ooh, I don't know about this one. And you know the way that turns out. So I get a laugh out of that. But also, yes, the Atlanta Falcons, if they never got Cousins, not a single person would question it. Some would say, like, ooh, we went a little bit high, but nobody would look at them. But hey, they needed a quarterback. They believe they got their franchise guy, and away you go. I don't care how many telecasts I watched. I watched Dan Orlovsky wake up the next day and say it was a fantastic pick after he slept on it, which is hilarious to me at this point. But then also, I was listening to Colin Cowherd a little bit this afternoon. He's like, you know what? They have the best quarterback room now in the NFC South. Aww. And talk to me when they have a three-game lead in November. And I said, I would love to, like, be the opposite of the panel and go, hold on now. So you're saying that it was a good pick and they're going to have a three-game lead because of their quarterback room, but their quarterback is not actually going to be competing here as a draft pick and they have a three-game lead. Meanwhile, you might have had a four-game lead if you took Rome Odunze. Like, make it make sense on the Penix deal. It's okay. And the theory I use, I even think I tweeted back Dan Orlovsky, is like, it's okay to love the player and absolutely hate the pick. It's okay.
Yeah, but again, like, my big thing is, it's the decision to sign Cousins.
Yes,
that I correct. Cannot get, like, you drafting eighth, right? Mm-hmm. Which they knew that you are well aware you're in range to take a quarterback, right?
Correct.
I mean, mm-hmm. when you were given that pick, and you would hope your scouts have told you, like, Donnie, when they found out they were eighth in January, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yep.
Cousins in March. Mm-hmm. Within the month of February, your scouts should have been able to tell you, hey, we like this quarterback class.
Yes.
We really like Michael Penix. And yes. by the way, based on what everybody else is thinking, we'd mm-hmm. be able to get Penix at 8, no problem.
Yes.
Are you sure correct. You want to pay Kirk Cousins? Or do you want to build out the rest of this roster? Because mm-hmm. all the things that go in Penix's favor, right? Or I should almost say the other way. The things that go against Penix, right, of being an older prospect and being injury prone, you yes. can kind of cancel out if you go, yeah, but the Falcons are win now. They're starting him week one. They nixed all of that and turned it into a double negative of they want him to sit there for a long time,
yes.
which correct. Is absolutely nuts. So, and that is, again, the thing that continues to stun me. And here's, you know, Don, it's so funny, right? Because we go, oh, they have a great quarterback room now, right? And it's what's going to happen. So if Kirk Cousins gets injured and Michael Penix steps in and plays well, they'd be like, see, the pick was great. You absolutely do not draft backup quarterback at 8. There are other there are other ways you can go about that. There just are. So
correct.
This is a situation, it literally doesn't matter how it goes. It was a bad use of funds. I don't care if Cousins wins the Super Bowl. I don't care if Michael Penix wins the Super Bowl. This is not how you operate.
Yes, like the under the thought process that Kirk Cousins might get injured next year and then you have a good rookie quarterback and it's worth the 8th pick. Imagine if teams operated like that. Like, the Eagles would just pick a quarterback in every single round of every single draft because that would make the most sense in case 5 quarterbacks got injured that season. You have a 6th. Nonsense! Let's talk more sports coming back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kev's loaded up on a little Manessis action this afternoon.
Yeah.
Now, what do you have on Manessis? What type of wager did you actually take here?
1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. So, I got him batting in the four hole here against Nathan Eovaldi.
Now, here's the good part about yesterday, like, because I like where you're going this, because it's a multitude of options. Now, if you're lining up just based on the numbers itself, versus right-handed pitching, Meneses hasn't been all that good. An 0-30 ISO and a 283 weighted on base percentage. But you might say to yourself, oh boy, he's not going to get base hits. But you could get two RBI. You could get a base hit at that point or even score a run. The reason I bring that up is the three guys ahead of Joey Meneses today, C.J. Abrams, 358 weighted on base percentage, Nick Senzel, 324, Luis Garcia, 351. That means runners should be on base by the time he gets up. And he actually does have a lower K rate against right-handed pitchers. So, put the ball in play. Case in point, when I take RBI props, I was talking to somebody last week on Twitter and going over this. Like, well, why do you like RBI props so much as opposed to, like, let's just say, over 1.5 bases or over or hits? Because you don't actually have to have a base hit. Yesterday, a two-out walk with the bases loaded, I believe, was Marcell Ozuna, got an RBI. Those are the ones that make me smile. Like, he didn't even do anything. Still cashed a prop. Didn't even get a base hit. All you did was walk at that point. So, I don't like the hitting prospects of Meneses today, but you do have some positives because you can get two ground outs today, Kevin, and cash that ticket easily.
And that's why that market is so tempting, right? I mean, look, it's a Washington lineup that has actually exceeded expectations for a lot of people this season, but has had a down series so far with only two runs through two games against Texas. So I think the lineup can perform a little bit better here. I was tempted by C.J. Abrams, certainly, Donnie, in that leadoff spot there. Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Abrams gets on, Senzel moves him over, Garcia strikeout. Well, if Meneses singles, Abrams is scoring from second, and the bet wins, right? So That's kind of why that market looks so good. Heck, Meneses grounds into a fielder's choice, ends up on first base, and Jesse Winker hits one out of the park.
Correct.
We've got ourselves a run all of a sudden, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of the thing. I was tempted by the Nationals lineup, but I thought Meneses was the guy in the four hole at plus 100 as well. The juice matters. The juice always matters when you're betting baseball, right?
Yep.
And getting him at plus 100, I thought, was a worthwhile wager. If you wanted to go other options, there is plus 120 for Abrams to record a run, which I was tempted by. But again, ultimately, I settled on Meneses.
And sometimes the numbers don't always play out, which is why it's great, because it's like a little riddle in baseball that you're trying to figure out. But case in point today, Kevin, there are six pitchers on the card because we had a short card today that had at least 20 innings pitched in 2024. XFIP minus is my favorite number in the book by far to try to grade these pitchers. Sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah. Tristan McKenzie was the worst pitcher on the card yesterday, pitched very well against the Houston Astros, so just a little bit of a background. But more than not, it will point you in the right direction. I had Ben Brown as the best pitcher on the card today, 91 XFIP minus. He pitches for the Cubs. They're up 4-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. He's pitching extremely well. You know who the worst pitcher on the card today is? For me, Adrian Hauser of the Mets, 149 XFIP minus. Four earned runs through four innings right now. Now, also, from an RBI perspective, I didn't bet anything yet today, so I don't feel all that bad, but from some of the numbers that I like to use, I thought Talkman would have be a great day for an RBI, and also Bush. Bush is 2-for-3 in that, five hole right there, and he doesn't have an RBI, because Morrill hit a 3-run home run right before him. Boy, those actually hurt, man. Because you get burned a different way on RBI props than most other things, because usually it's like, hey, as long as I get my at-bats, I have a hitter's prop. I don't care if anybody's on base. Just get base hits, total bases, and it works out. There are so many times, Kevin, where I'm like, okay, second and third with nobody out, or runner on third with like one out, and the guy before is like, dude, strike out, because that'll mean like one out with a guy on third, and I'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And he grounds out the shortstop for a fielder's choice RBI, and then you get up with nobody on base. It's such a round robin, to say that, use a play on term words, where sometimes it just works in your favor. And there are games, Kevin, where I get so upset because it feels like my two guys repeatedly come up as leadoff guys in the second, in the fifth, in the eighth. I didn't even have a chance today to set this thing up, because obviously in a great day, it's like, okay, my guy's up fourth in the inning, leadoff double, ooh, good, get him over to third base, maybe the next guy walks, two ducks on a pond, one out, ground ball, you get that RBI. So there are different ways to get burned, but the afternoon action, 4-4, Miami and Colorado in the bottom of the eighth inning. Baltimore is now taking a 3-1 lead over the New York Yankees with a couple long balls. San Francisco and Boston, that game is tied at 1 in the fourth, and then we're waiting at 2:35, which by the time we'll get back from this break, just underway, will be Washington versus Texas. And the only night game tonight, because they all want you watching the Philadelphia 76ers, is Cleveland and Houston. Let's talk some NBA action next and what to anticipate from the city of brotherly love. And also, will the Pacers get the job done tonight? And who's actually playing for the Bucks? Come on back to Moneyline on a Thursday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dipping into a Thursday here. Knicks, Sixers, City of Brotherly Love. Fortify the Wells Fargo Arena. How do you do that, Kevin? Buy your own tickets and hand them out to your own fans at this point, which I'm going to get to this in just a moment, but we're going to get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. The X-Man is calling in on a Thursday afternoon. You know he's got some treats for the people. X-Man, how we doing? What are we looking at?
Yo, what's up, Donnie?
We're ready.
It's the best show everybody already know.
You already know.
From Virginia. Let me give a shout out to the whole VA. And let me give a shout out to North Carolina, too, because they get money in North Carolina now. You hear me?
They do. We do. Yep.
Hey, we going with Milwaukee Bucks on the money line.
Oh,
the
my
Knicks
goodness.
On the money line.
Oh, he's hurting
Boston
me now.
In regulation, it's 13-1.
Handling their business here. Now, why are we going with the Bucks now? Are we sure that we're getting some good information? Because you might be on the warpath right now, getting about 6 points on a money line where Giannis and Dame Lillard show up tonight. That'd be tremendous.
And I think the Bucks should have won the last game they played at Indiana.
Kev, what are your thoughts on that one?
If those guys come back, I'm betting. I feel like that's the way to play it. There's so much offense gets added right in.
Right. There you go. He's out. Look, he's got to get to Virginia. He's got to get through all, like, not Kevin. We're not just talking about, like, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. You're a Virginia Beach, right? We're talking about the whole state of Virginia here. Now, the question is, though, does the whole state of Virginia actually also include West Virginia, though? Do you know what I mean? Are we shouting out West Virginia, or that's too much? Like, we can't be doing that, you know?
Nah, those things mystify me. Those things.
It's a big rivalry. It's a big rivalry down there. But yeah, let's get in a little basketball action tonight. We'll start with that Bucks game tonight, which I do think is fun because we're getting those cryptic tweets and updates from Woj, which, hey, we don't know if he's playing, but he's questionable now. If you are an NBA player worth your salt, which 99.9% of them are, you don't want to sit these games. Giannis doesn't want to sit this game out. Dame doesn't. But we've seen the ramifications. Like, I guess you could say, well, if Giannis comes back and hurts his calf again, well, he can rest it for, I don't know, 5 months. You hurt that Achilles? Dame, we might not even see you next year on the basketball court. That's the one you have to fight with because, yes, he wants to come back, but it's not like, hey, if I tweak it again, you know. No, it's you're going to rupture that thing if you come back too early.
Well, it's such a mess, Donnie. It's such a mess. Because like you said, the Bucks have done... here's what the Bucks have done, though, is if those guys don't make it out there, it's such a bad look, right? It's like, oh, they quit on Doc. They don't care. They've been talking about Giannis coming back like the whole series.
Yes.
You know? Dame played... whatever the Achilles injury that Dame has is, he played through it in Game 3.
Yeah.
So... the fact that he's now missed two games, you'd be like, all right, you got to be ready to go. And we have no idea. I mean, it's incredible to think. Like, we literally do not know if the two best players on the Milwaukee Bucks will play tonight. Mm-hmm. I really do believe the move, though, Donnie, is bet over if they are ruled in.
Yeah.
How do you bet this game? I guess you can try and bet against the information, right? Like, oh, I'll take the Bucks. These guys get confirmed in. It'll be two. It'll be picked.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know if anybody's really laying Pacers 6 thinking, oh, they're going to be ruled out and this line's going to, you know, I mean, it could go to 10. We've seen it be 10, right?
Yeah.
So I see the vision if you want to play it that way. I feel I'd rather wait for the dust to settle. You know, I think the interesting thing, Donnie, with the Pacers and this series overall is no matter what happens, they've inspired no confidence in anyone, right? Like, beating the Bucks was probably always going to be a situation where we looked more at Milwaukee losing. But it's very funny. The thought process was, Indiana upsets Milwaukee, Doc makes excuses, right?
Yes.
Now it's going to be a scenario where Indiana beats Milwaukee and we all make excuses for Doc. Like, it's actually not his fault. It's really, really not. So if the Pacers do win tonight or even, you know, the Saturday game seven potentially, and then they play the Knicks or the Sixers, the Pacers are going to be dogs in that series. And people are going to say Halliburton can't get it done in the postseason, Carlisle's got question marks, Miles Turner's not good enough as your second option there. And the Pacers are going to be faded in a major way, Donnie, really no matter what happens.
Because, you know, saying this morning, here's what I know is going to happen. I think Doc behind the scenes is telling those two guys not to play, or telling the medical staff, I don't want them playing at all at any cost, because if we lose, nobody's going to blame it on Doc Rivers. What I need to have happen is here is Giannis and Dame to come back tonight and get beat, and then Doc goes right back into the crosshairs. Like, you have championship, you know, components on your team, and you can't coach them. Like, Doc has got to be the happiest man in the world heading into this series, which, quite frankly, even because we weren't thinking Dame was going to get injured, right? And we were thinking Giannis won't be back early, which means, oh, we lose game one, he'll be back game two. But they won game one. It's like, okay, he'll be back game three then, because you don't need him for game two because you won't be behind the block. And you see Giannis on the bench celebrating, looks in good spirits. He's close to coming back. He's probably not even going to play tonight, which is wild. Which, again, gives Doc that big out. Like, man, everywhere I go, we lose, but it's never my fault. What did you want me to do? And granted, what do you want somebody to do when two of their superstar players aren't playing? But I think they were going to lose this series anyway, regardless. And if they do lose it now, it's like, hey, Doc gets a pass. We'll be back coaching next year, which for the rest of the league, you got to like if you're going up against Milwaukee, because he's a net negative as your head coach, as opposed to, all right, let's get serious and hire a really good coach next year.
Yeah, I really think it's bizarre because that's the thing, right? I guess you're right, Donnie. If they both come back, lay minus one with the Pacers, right? Like, that'll be very dull because he gets the big guys back and it's the least competitive game of the series. You could absolutely open my mind to that being the way this game plays out here. I'm really torn. I have a pre-series Bucks plus 1.5 games bet, which is a winner if they win tonight, a loser if they do not. So I'm already invested, but that was a pre-series investment. That was just, you know, I mean, I certainly didn't expect Dame to leave injured as well. You know, once that happened, it's not like I would have redoubled my money. I really believe my look is going to be towards the over. Giannis props, Donnie? Like, what do we want on a Giannis number if he's back?
I don't.
Like, full gas?
I mean, they're putting Embiid full gas. The dude can't even walk up the court. He's 30.5 tonight. Like, I know he scored 50, but that knee gets progressively worse every single game. I'm not talking about the Sixers game technically right now, but just using that as context. Like, Embiid is hurting. Like, I don't care. He's playing, he's suiting up. Is he starting? Yeah. Give him 30.5, just like he's the regular season MVP Embiid at this point. So Giannis's numbers, I don't expect that. Hey, you know what? Giannis, 13.5 tonight. Like, wait a second here. Like, if Giannis plays, he's starting and playing, as long as he doesn't get injured 35 plus minutes. I don't care that he's been out for weeks at this point. You think Giannis is coming back tonight to give you the old, you know, 5 to 7 minutes like they would have been in the 1990s and 80s? No, he'll play the whole game tonight.
Yeah, I think Giannis is really interesting. I'm interested in Embiid tonight. Bounce back style, Donnie. Maybe plus 180, lead that game in scoring. Brunson, or does Brunson have too much volume?
Brunson's going to have so much volume in this game. Like, you know what I like Embiid, though? Which, it plays right into it. Embiid's always loved the three-point shot. But I would look at that 30.5, Kevin, and say there's no chance that he gets 30.5 points without hitting his three-point prop. Which means that he might get a lot of points on threes and not even hit that 30.5 number. I truly believe that. Because that knee, and also the matchups there, where the big man's got to get out there, he's going to shoot 7 or 8 three-point shots tonight, Joel Embiid. No doubt in my mind. So when I look at the 30.5 number, I'm like, he could get there, but I'm more than like first quarter comes out, Kevin, boom, knocks down his first three-point shot, you're in. Because he's going to shoot 7 or 8 more of those throughout the night. So I like to like that a little bit more. And the same way you take a look at Brunson. I look at Brunson tonight in his prop. It is high, get it. Kevin, he's going to shoot 29 times tonight. Like, how can you just keep taking it? And if it doesn't work out, Kevin, and he goes 7 of 31, you didn't handicap that wrong. And the reason why you'd be wrong is like, hey, man, I'd expect Brunson only to shoot 14 times tonight. He's shooting 25 plus with his eyes closed.
Yeah, the volume is remarkable. Mm-hmm. Lack of efficiency is going completely under discussed. The Brunson stuff is pissing me off. I'm sorry. There's like 42% from the field and 29% from 3.
MVP.
44
MVP.
Minutes a game. 30 shots a night. Yeah, I just can't.
How about in the biggest moment, guy throws a ball out of bounds? Yeah, let's pile on Brunson. I'm with you on that. You're changing my mind about the series. Sixers in 7. Get a tattoo. It's going to happen. And Baltimore is now taking a 4-1 lead over the Yanks in the bottom of the 5th inning. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Updates across Major League Baseball. Rockies Marlins tied at 4, bottom of the 9th inning. Yankees Orioles, that's 4-1 in the bottom of the 5th inning here in the favor of the Orioles. And we have a 4-2 lead for the Chicago Cubs over the New York Mets in the top of the 6th inning. Giants and Red Sox tied at 1. No score here. Nationals and Rangers, Kevin. So Meneses, what did he do? Kay? You watching that? What happened?
I grounded out.
You needed that. Could see that? You need the guy on third with one out. Would have celebrated, would have had a party at that point. So a lot more bats coming in that game. We'll see what happens. Next game up on deck is going to be the Guardians and the Astros at 8:11, and that's it for the night. Next game up after that is tomorrow afternoon, 2:21 start, Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers for a really good series there in the NL Central. But let's talk some basketball. Philadelphia 76ers tonight are the favorites, -3 at home. Total listed very low at 201. I actually like the under last night, Kevin, in Boston and Miami. And at the end of the game, I actually looked at the score. Oh, they easily got it. Then I got out the handy-dandy calculator real quick while I wasn't paying attention. But wait a second. Missed it by a bucket. Like I said, there was no way the Heat were getting to the 90s. But 118 by the Celtics pushes that over just a bit too much. Tonight, I do think it's a lower pace tempo in the Knicks 76ers game. Do I want to bet under 201? Not necessarily. But I think both of these teams will be playing into the 90s. Now, I had a parlay today. You like this. Nick Boom Boom Batum over 4.5 points, and Miles McBride over 9.5. Miles McBride has taken over for Dante DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo should get 10 minutes tonight. Just give all those minutes to McBride, Kevin. All of them.
Well, the DiVincenzo stuff has been very funny, because I thought Dante had a good shot to bounce back in game 5, and then got himself in so much foul trouble he never had a chance. Yeah. You know, he still made the most of his minutes, right, Donnie? 10 attempts in 26 minutes. That's not bad work if you can get it. But the thing with DiVincenzo is very clearly, you know, Dibs will run him to the bench if Miles has a hot hand. Like, DiVincenzo plays in spurts, right? Like a chunk of the first quarter, a little of the second, chunk of the third. He might not come back in. That's just kind of what where things are with Dante DiVincenzo right now, which is funny because he was a 45-minute guy in the regular season. Like, legitimately, he was playing 40 minutes a game in the regular season for Tibbs. So the way that that's kind of started to spin has been pretty funny. I'm actually, Donnie, a little interested in a Knicks team total tonight, which is at 99.5. It just... It's they've now not scored 100 in 2 straight games in regulation, right? Their best offensive performance came in Philadelphia, and it came with a great Knicks game, great Sixers game, excuse me, where they scored 125. Yeah. I know it might sound, you know, why am I leaving the Philly number out of it? I guess it's just the Knicks number feels like it has a little bit more value on it to me, right? And I probably still think the Sixers win, Donnie, if you were giving me even money either side of the money line, but the Knicks are capable of winning this game. To your point, Embiid is not right, which is a shame, but the story of his career, Tobias Harris is completely useless and the single most overpaid player in the history of sports. And you're asking Tyrese Maxey, coming off of the best game of his life, just circumstances and efficiency and the caliber of shots, you know, to run that back can be difficult. I'm not saying the Sixers can't get there. I just like the pathway for the Knicks a little bit more, and that feels like my favorite bet in that game.
About that. By the way, doubling the nobody, no outs, two runners on, triple in the gap for the Orioles as they're laying it on Carlos Rodon right now, who is sweating up a storm. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is I know we didn't get a chance to talk about this. I really don't think I brought it up on any of the radio or anything. But Major League Baseball coming together saying, yeah, we messed up. We apologize. We are changing everything back to what we've been doing for the past 10 years in baseball with uniforms. Sorry for the inconvenience, but it's not fanatic Reebok's fault over here. It's more of Nike, which is hilarious because the jersey quality and everything has been so poor. And I always love this too, Kevin. Like, when nobody asked for anything, like Major League Baseball players weren't going to ownership going, like, you know, look awesome, tiny lettering on the back. You know, it'd be fantastic, cheap pants that you can see through and don't really fit the way they did the last year. And I loved, about 3 weeks ago, in a day Major League Baseball game, Bryce Harper put on last year's uniform and said, I don't give a damn. I can't stand these new uniforms. And now baseball comes out and is like, hey, guys, we're just going back to the way where things look good and not cheap. And you know what, Kevin? I don't really think it was so much that it was, oh, the players don't like it here. If the fans were buying these jerseys in droves, they wouldn't even care if you could see through the entire uniform. Like, hey, man, it's making money. Keep the same thing out here. Fans love it. The fans were so angry at the changes that when you go to a store and you say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I want to buy a jersey. Who do you want? You look at him and be like, that thing looks terrible. And nobody was buying the jersey with the tiny lettering that looked ultra cheap. They'll go back to buying jerseys now. So congratulations, Major League Baseball. It is about the bottom line, and you failed on that one.
So that is good. I actually thought you were going to go a different direction. This is something that's been, you know, continuously discussed, Donnie. But it's the fact that every starting pitcher has to get Tommy John surgery. And I saw an old clip from Tyler Glass now. And I imagine you'll bash this, but that's fine.
Yes.
I'm just curious.
And I know where you're going because I'll come over the top with this by something I was watching today. Go ahead.
So that's interesting. So, and
yes,
for those that don't,
because I think Glass, I know where you're going.
I think you do. Glass now said, I'll just tell people shortly then, basically, the in-season changes that were forced upon the starting pitchers of, hey, all the things you were allowed to do have to go. Spider tack, sweat, sand, dirt, mud, whatever the heck they were using, sunscreen, has to go. And Glass now believed that that was a big reason as to why he got injured. He didn't say, and he made the point, and I thought it was a fair one, hey, it's not that I can't pitch well anymore. I've had some of my best starts, but I'm now having to do things to overcompensate, and it's causing these Tommy John surgeries. And I think inarguably, Donnie, there is a problem right now in Major League Baseball with the amount of season-ending surgeries starting pitchers need to have.
Yeah, well, here's the issue with it, Kevin. The arm is not meant to throw 100 times a night at 100 miles an hour. That's issue number one. Like, I know Major League Baseball can never do this, but absolutely say, okay, nobody's allowed to throw over 90 miles an hour. Nobody would have Tommy John surgery anymore at that point. And it's funny that pitchers are upset that we were taught to cheat our entire lives. Now we can't cheat. I overcompensate and I hurt myself. But I actually thought it was going to be a bit bogus, you know, stating with the MLB, the Major League Baseball was trying to say, like, hey, man, the pitch clock is hurting our arms at this point, which I thought was so, so funny to see that happen. Now, here's where I thought you were going on this, which makes me laugh. You know what? I'm not even going to burn this here. Let the people think about this. I watched a video, and I'm going to tell you why we can never go back in time ever again in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that next and put a cap on this bad boy. A couple NBA games tonight. Let's see where those W's happen right here on Moneyline in the afternoon on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yanks getting torched right now. 7-1 Baltimore, which would mean 3 out of 4 that Baltimore has won straight up now in this series. Impressive stuff. The Cubs do tack on another run themselves to get to the 5 number. Pete Crow Armstrong with 2 RBIs today, the young promising rookie for the Chicago Cubs. But before we went to break, here's why we can never go back, Kevin. You know, sometimes on my reels, like a lot of Philadelphia sports comes up. Ninth inning, should I say top of the ninth inning, 2008 World Series, Philadelphia Phillies and the Tampa Bay Rays. So somebody clipped it, and it's like, I don't know, 13 or 14 minutes long. So you get to watch the top of the inning. Kevin, if they ever go back without the pitch clock again, I don't think I can watch a Major League Baseball game. It's that stark of a contrast. And for the people that go, it doesn't make that big of a difference. I'm telling you right now, the way you can watch baseball right now, where you can say it's constant action, but baseball's still a slow sport. But I'm saying, Kevin, on the mound, step off the rubber, get new signs again, take your time, look to first base, look to second, step off the it was unbelievably excruciating. We can never go back on the pitch clock ever again. You might lose me overall as a fan, Kevin, if we go back to that.
Yeah, I don't think we should. I think you're right. I think it is one of those things, one of the easy to understand moments for me in the pitch clock is when someone said it's like the shot clock in the NBA. Right? We never think about it unless it's
yes, true.
Play. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. This isn't really a big deal. But I think it is possible, truly, like Donnie, that the removal of the things that were allowing these pitchers throwing 90 to control the baseball has impacted the amount of Tommy John surgeries that are required. And if that's so, the solution is very simple. Let them use whatever they want. Juice the crap out of baseballs. Donnie, just it'll be home runs and strikeouts. I know that old, like an older, I don't care. It's like there's no way, Donnie, we are better off every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, finding out that someone's one or two starting pitcher just got ended for the season. It's horrendous.
But also, like, because again, the arms aren't built to throw that hard. They never were. Like, if anybody doesn't like challenges it, yes, there were hard throwers back in the day. Go watch a random 1980s Major League Baseball game. You go, oh my God, I think I can hit this guy. Like, it was just 88 miles an hour was like a top end fastball back in the day. It's wild. I'm telling you, it's wild to watch. But it's the same as every sport. The athletes get better every single year. The boundaries get pressed, and these guys are built to throw 100 miles an hour right out of the get-go. Now, granted, that's going to hurt you, by the way. Shout out to Pittsburgh Pirates, who let Paul Skeens, who might be the best pitcher they've had in their farm system in 30 years, stay there. But also, the best part of Kevin is, it's not like, hey, man, Skeens just went 9 innings and threw another no-hitter. It's like, hey, man, Skeens was awesome last night. 2 1/3 innings, 3 strikeouts, no earned runs again. Mm-hmm. Like, the dude who started like 8 games, Kevin has like 20 innings pitched. I don't know what they're doing, but again, I get back to this. Major League Baseball, you are the dumbest sport in the world. And if I can equivalent, I guess, to the NBA. Wembanyama gets drafted number one over by the Spurs, and they go, Kevin, you'll see him game 43 this year because we want to have his fifth-year option. Can you imagine any other bozo sport? Like this year, Caleb Williams, Kevin, will not see the football field till week 9 no matter what happens so they can make sure they pick up a fifth-year option.
It's the best. Listen, I will just tell people one of my favorite traditions of this show is the every other, like, I don't know, like, it's like every 3 weeks we have to bash this sport for the stupidity.
Yes.
Like, people wonder why college football and college basketball are massive. Mm-hmm. Massive. And I understand that football and basketball are both bigger than baseball. But
yeah,
the gap between NFL to college football, NBA to college basketball, and then baseball to college baseball is preposterous. And look, we always throw, like, Don, like the games of, oh man, where'd this guy go to college, right? Like Tyrese Maxey. Oh yeah, I remember when he was at Kentucky. Hey, anybody know where Aaron Judge went to school? Absolutely not.
Exactly.
I'm telling you this right. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
I'm a Yankee fan. If it's not Cal State Fullerton, I don't know.
I don't think it was. I think it was a smaller school. Wasn't like a.
I don't know.
I think it was
California.
Something lesser than that. Yeah, he's a West Coast guy. But you're right about that. Yes. Like, hey man, I just watched. And granted, half of them don't even go there. And I'm like, hey, where'd Gleyber Torres go? I don't know. Wasn't he a international player? That like nobody knows. Like, oh, I watched him way back in the Dominican when he was 15. Like, you would be able to see like a Wembanyama at this point. It is crazy how that one actually gets out there at this point. But two NBA games on tonight. What's the shocker tonight? If you had to pick a free parlay money line, who are the two winners tonight?
Pacers, Sixers.
Sixers! Game 7 in the Garden Saturday, people. Get ready for it. Another exciting show. Tomorrow's Friday. DRS back to a solo mission. JP behind the wheels of steel. New music I hear is on the way for tomorrow. We'll find out for Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.